This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In these a few minutes, inshallah, I will be speaking about the role of sisters in the West. First of all, let me stress on the fact that you need to know that the non-Muslims are attacking Muslims from different angles. And the worst attack and the most severe attack and the most dangerous attack is the ideological attack. The ideological attack, when the ideological attacks becomes mixed with the desire attack, with the shahawat attack, it becomes a very big attack. And many non-Muslims are attacking Muslims from the angle of the role of women in the society. This is an ideological attack from one angle, and it is also an attack from the shahawat, from the desires. And once, as I told you, once we combine between both of them, it becomes a very big attack. And that's why we see that the Muslim community or the Muslim Ummah has been influenced by this attack. Now, many people might say that this is just a response to the conspiracy theory. No, not necessarily. Let us go back to the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and let us see this. All of us know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said that inna awwala fitnat bani Israel kanat fi nisa. إن الدنيا حلوة خضرة فاتقوا الدنيا واتقوا النساء فإن أول فتنة بني إسرائيل كانت في النساء. That the dunya is حلوة, is nice, is pleasant, is green. And إن الله مستخلفكم فيها, in the hadith, that Allah جل وعلا is appointing you as the Khalifa and he wants to check what are you doing. فاتقوا الدنيا, be aware of dunya and be aware of women. For the first fitna for Bani Israel was women. Now, we know that women is part of this dunya. But why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make a separation between females and the dunya? No, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to stress that the fitna of women is the biggest fitna. And that's why in the other hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I haven't left a fitna bigger than the fitna of women for men. And that's why we say that it is not just a conspiracy theory. If we look around us, sisters, we see that most of the young Muslims who went astray, they went astray because of the fitna of an-nisa, of females. This is one angle. The other angle is when Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوٌ لَكُمْ فَحْذَرُوهُمْ, that among your wives, among your children, عَدُو means enemies for you. The scholars of tafsir, they never said that أَزْوَاجِكُمْ is a fitna just because they are women. But they said here it is أَزْوَاج, the wives, means that the sexual fitna is not the only fitna of women. What does that mean? It means that women or females play a major role in the society and they can control the society. Because the ayah is not talking about the sexual fitna of women. No. The ayah is taking that one step further, which means that the fitna of women is not limited to the fitna of sexual desires, but it is also it goes one step further. What does that mean? As I said to you, it means that women can play a major role. Actually, they control the society, whether we accept that or we don't accept that, but as a matter of reality, women control the society. Now, many people might not accept that. Let me ask you a question. And I ask so many brothers this question. Whom do you think has a better control or a stronger control over the house? He said, well, to be honest with you, is my wife. Either because he loves her so much, so he is controlled by her from that angle, or he just want to avoid her being nagging or making his life difficult, for example. So that's why he is trying to please her. Or at the end of the day, he wants tranquility. He wants contentment. And he knows that whenever he goes to work and wants to come back home, he wants to have peace of mind. That's why he is eager to go back to home in order to find the tranquility and contentment. If he doesn't find it in his house, then it becomes problematic. So the first thing that occupies his mind is his wife. So, sisters, don't belittle your role. Now, once we talk about the role of women in the society, of sisters in the society, I might present any role from my own ideas. Someone else might present his own role. But the point is, who is speaking the truth, or who is speaking the reflection of the Quran and Sunnah? One problem in understanding this topic is being influenced by a culture. Maybe a person is influenced by an Arab culture, another person is influenced by a Western culture, a third person is influenced by maybe a subcontinent culture. And that's why we say Al-Hakim means the judgment should be given or should be left to the Quran and Sunnah. But remember, the Quran and Sunnah in a very holistic reading. Many people take some verses from the Quran, some verses from the Sunnah, and they build certain theories on individual or isolated verses or statements from the Quran and Sunnah, and that is absolutely wrong. Now, let us, of course, I know that time doesn't allow us to have this holistic reading for the Quran and Sunnah, but let us go to the Quran and Sunnah and see how the Quran and Sunnah addressed the issue of women. Let us take the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ فَرْضَهَا or خَمْسَهَا وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا وَأَحْصَنَتْ فَرْجَهَا وَأَطَاعَتْ زَوْجَهَا دَخَلَتْ جَنَّةَ رَبِّهَا from دَخَلَتْ جَنَّةَ رَبِّهَا مِنْ أَيِّ الْأَبْوَابِ شَاءَتْ. If the woman prays her 5 times and fast her month of Ramadan or the month of Ramadan, and she guarded her chastity and obeyed her husband, she will enter the Jannah from whatever gate she likes. Subhanallah al-Azim. Now, this hadith clarifies that the first priority is the 5 pillars of Al-Islam. And this should be the first priority for any person, and in particular, our sisters. So that is the first priority. صَلَّتْ فَرْضَهَا. Praise the 5 daily prayers. And fast the month of Ramadan. Even the Prophet ﷺ did not mention Hajj, because in some circumstances Hajj is not obligatory on women. And the Prophet ﷺ did not mention Zakah, because normally the men are the people who have money. However, if the sister has money, she must pay the Zakah. And then the other thing, and guarded her chastity. This is a critical thing. And look, the Prophet ﷺ equated between guarding the chastity and praying 5 times and fasting the month of Ramadan, which emphasizes the role of guarding a chastity. So that should be taken into consideration, and that should be one of the priorities. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, وَأَطَاعَتْ بَعْلَهَا or وَأَطَاعَتْ زَوْجَهَا. And she obeyed her husband. Then she, Allah Jalla wa'ala, will allow her to get into Jannah and from whatever gate she would like. Look, in the other hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, when the women came to him and they said, the men are going for jihad, but we are not going for jihad. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, jihadukunna al-hajj wal-umrah, that the jihad for you is the hajj and umrah. Now, the Quran, when Allah jalla wa ala spoke about the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, ya nisa an-nabiyya in ittaqaytunna fala taqda'na bil-qawli, fayatma' alladhi fi qalbihi marad. And then Allah jalla wa ala says to Nisa al-Nabi that if you don't obey, ati'an Allah wa Rasulah, if they don't obey Allah and His Messenger, Allah jalla wa ala will replace them with other women. Which means that the role, the main role of any sister is different from the main role of any brother or from the male. That is a very important point. Now, I'd like to stress on this point because so many sisters are confused. And because of the notion of equality between the two genders that the West is promoting, many sisters are influenced by that and they think that any role is given to men should be given to women. And of course, that leads to injustice towards sisters because there are some responsibilities sisters cannot bear. If we put them on sisters, that will be unfair for them. So, from this and from other adilla, and in particular, if we look at the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the role they used to play during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with starting from Khadija, which is the time before hijab, and the time during the Meccan period, and then ending with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, we see that the first role that those wives, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam played is to support the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam in his da'wah. We all know the role of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha when she got married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that in Ghar al-Hira when the revelation started, and he came to Khadija and he said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, and she said, Allah jalla wa ala will never let you down because you support the weak person, etc. So she supported him from that angle. She supported him by her money. That's why when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after she died, and once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and the sister of Khadija, Hala, came, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hala bintu Khuwaylid, and Aisha became jealous, and she said, even you remember the sister of Khadija, and that old lady, he said, she supported me by her money where no one supported me. She endorsed me while no one endorsed me. She accepted Islam at the time no one accepted Islam. So that is the first role, sisters, is to support the husband. Now, of course, this is for the sisters who are married. And we are going to talk about the sisters who are not married. But let me just emphasize or let me clarify more about this point. Supporting the husband for sisters who are married, supporting the husband, it doesn't mean supporting him in his da'wah work, but supporting him by providing him with the with full happiness, with full tranquility, with moral support is the support that we are talking about. Even if you are not involved directly in da'wah with the husband, but you are involved indirectly with da'wah, or with the da'wah, that is considered to be part of the da'wah. Let us take this example. One time I do remember that my wife received a call from one of the sisters, and she said, well, my husband is coming late. He is coming late for the whole week, every single night, and because he is doing some project. So I'm really a bit upset. And she said, what I can do, what can I do? And then this sister, for example, if she understands that by being patient, by giving her husband this moral support, by not nagging and demanding so many things from the husband, by taking care of her children, by trying to relieve her husband from so many other responsibilities, she will be partner to her husband in the reward. Please, sisters, do understand this point. Don't think that he is getting the reward and you are not getting anything. It is true that your name might not be known. It is true that you are not the one who is delivering the lecture, but be sure that if you have the right intention, you are getting the reward with your husband. Now, many people saying, but if the sisters are not involved in directly in da'wah, who is going to give da'wah? No, look at it from this angle. Of course, we are going to speak about this, but look at the first point from this angle. The more your husband can do da'wah, the more is better for the whole society. So instead of you giving da'wah and your husband is giving da'wah, of course, when you want to be involved in da'wah, the husband has to give up some of his time. And you need to give up some of the other responsibilities. And therefore, when both of you are giving da'wah, it doesn't mean that two manpower or one man power and one woman power are giving da'wah. No, that is not true. Don't be deceived. Because once you are giving da'wah, there has to be someone who is taking care of the children, which means that your husband is going to take care of the children and he is not going to give da'wah. But if you support him and he will be able, if you support him, he will be able to dedicate more time for the da'wah and the children are going to be taken care of yourself. Now, I know that so many sisters might not like this, but this is the reality. And that's why if you look at the Quran, you will not see. And if you look at the ahadith, you will not see that Allah Jalla wa Ala put certain burden on women in terms of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil or giving da'wah. Da'wah is, first of all, the responsibility of men. And that is generally speaking. That is the first point. However, if the sister is not married, or the sister is married but she doesn't have children, or she has some time, then it comes the second responsibility. A sister is normally is a daughter, or is a sister for a blood sister for another person. I will talk about sisters being mothers later on, inshallah, because that is a major responsibility. Now, sisters being daughters for their fathers, and sisters being brothers, sisters being sisters for some brothers, in many cases, sisters, please, let us understand this, sisters are ignoring, belittling their role within the family members, with the household members. And believe me, I know so many parents, and in particular the fathers, who are influenced by their daughters. And the most influential person in the household member is the wife. But if the wife is not there, the daughter is the most influential person on her father, if she knows how to influence him. Sisters, you have very strong qualities, and you have very influential abilities as well and qualities. But you need to know how to use them. This is the secret. By lecturing to your husband, you will not be able to influence him. By claiming that you are teaching your father, you are not going to influence him. But by your softness and by your feminine qualities, you will be able to influence your husband and you will be able to influence your father and you will be able to influence your brother as well. I am a father. I know that my daughters in particular, whenever they want something from me, I can give it to them. Whenever they speak about something, I put attention to what they speak more than when maybe my son is talking. Why? Because the nature of the sisters, the nature of women, the nature of females, when they use the nature that Allah Jalla wa Ala given it to them, that will influence the male, whether we like it or we don't like it. So, you, sister, you are definitely either a daughter or a sister for a male person, or, as I said, or you are a mother. So, from that perspective, you need to influence. Now, let us imagine that you are a mother. You are a mother. Believe me, you are the strongest influential to your son and your children. I asked so many people who memorized the Quran, and I asked them who was the main person to influence you. And most of them said they are our mothers. Many of them said, it is my mother who taught me Quran. And I learned Quran and I memorized Quran through my mother. So don't belittle that role. I remember that some of our scholars said that their mothers used to teach them the basics of Arabic language. And they grasped that through their mothers and it sticks into their minds. Moreover, the moral support a mother can give to her son whenever he is going to seek knowledge or whenever he is going for da'wah is the biggest support for the person. Now, just because of time, I need to mention one more thing. The biggest attack, which is a very important thing, the biggest attack we are facing here in the West is, or actually one of the biggest attacks, is the feminism attack, or attack through feminism ideas. Now, who can respond to these attacks? The best people to respond to those attacks or to these attacks are sisters themselves. So, if you are involved with in supporting your husband or supporting your son or supporting your brother, that is the first priority. However, if you have time to do more, then focus on this issue, if you are able to do so. For example, we need sisters to articulate their idea about the position of women in al-Islam. We need sisters to defend the some Islamic principles such as al-hijab. We need sisters to even attack some of the non-Islamic ideas such as maybe freedom, liberalism, nudity, and these things. Because when the non-Muslims hear that Muslim females are supporting hijab and are clearly saying that they are not observing al-hijab because of cultural pressure or because of being coerced or so, then they will take that from them. You can do that through maybe one-to-one communication with female non-Muslims. You can do that through writing, being active in forums, being active, not necessarily with your name, being active in writing, whether in local newspapers, whether national newspapers, and so on. Believe me, many sisters can do that. This is one thing. The other thing is, I want the sisters, those who cannot be intellectuals to defend Islam from that point or to articulate. Actually, I don't like to use the word defending, because we don't need to defend al-Islam at every single point. But if they cannot articulate themselves and articulate some of the Islamic principles, many sisters can play another role in terms of the other non-practicing sisters. And really and truly, sisters, there is a huge problem in terms of the young sisters who went astray. I don't want to mention, I don't have exact statistics, but from the fatwa line that I run and from through Islamic Sharia Council, we know that there are some young sisters who are involved in prostitution. This is a well-known thing, even in some Muslim areas. And maybe I'm sure all of you or many of you know that. There are some young sisters who are involved in drugs. Imagine that there are some young sisters who are smuggling drugs. There are some young sisters who are smuggling pornography to other young sisters. And many of those young sisters are being victims of the negligence of their parents. Who is going to take care of those young sisters? They need someone whom they can relate to. In some cases, their parents are not, they cannot articulate themselves, and they might not be able to speak English or communicate in English with them, so they are left alone. You need to do a lot for those sisters. Just have some organizations that cater for those young sisters. With those young sisters, you can run some activities, and you can influence them directly. Please don't jump into lectures or teaching them Quran. And during the day, sisters, you can remain in touch with them over phone or over internet, or sometimes if they are living in your locality, they can meet you. This is a biggest responsibility. No one is doing that, unfortunately. The young sisters that I'm talking about are the sisters, the teenage sisters, between 12 until 16, 17. And that is something, unfortunately, if you look around you, you don't see that many, maybe mature sisters or sisters with knowledge who are aware of this problem, who are putting effort to rectify this problem. I know there is much to be said about the role of sisters in the West, but because of time limitation, maybe that will be enough, inshallah. I apologize for being unable to be with you in this important conference, but I'm sure that the other speakers, mashallah, can do a better job than my than this short message that I am delivering to you through a recorded message. I ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to give us the ability to pass the da'wah and to propagate Islam and to propagate the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And inshallah, in a future event arranged by brothers in At-Tayyibun, inshallah, we can have maybe a direct lecture and where we will be able to deal with your question. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.